Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in today. Happy Tuesday. Hope your week is off to a great start and you're enjoying this beautiful Christmas season. Well, you know how every once in a while we do these spiritual reset shows where we just push pause. We maybe unpack a concept or two just to help us pause and remember who we are, whose we are, who God is to us. Well, today is sort of a Christmas spiritual reset, and I'm so excited about this. We're going to play a little bit of music. I'll do a little bit of teaching. If there's a chance, I might take some calls and give some books away. But I really want to focus on a few things here today, and it's these three things: to tell a story, to see your story, and to embrace His story. And so we'll unpack this as we go, but I'm just really hoping and praying this for you can be one of those pause and take your shoes off kinds of holiday seasons where you really understand that He is God, that Jesus who came to earth, He is the God of all comfort. He's the source of all joy. He's the answer to our questions and our fears. And He came to earth to save us. I marvel at that when I think about it. Psalm 16:11 says it's in His presence the fullness of joy is found. And we celebrate a God who sent His Son to save us. And I think one of the best parts of heaven, next to being with Jesus forever, is the stories, because these stories are going to be offering perspective. We're going to see, we're going to have a lifetime to really see how my story intersected yours and your story mine. You prayed for me, I prayed for you, how certain things happened or didn't happen based on people's prayers and their acts of love. And so this is really going to be an amazing time when we get to go to heaven and see how our stories intersected. But even now on earth, there's a time to share a story about what God has done and how you see Him moving. So I'm going to get into that in just a moment. Just a quick reminder that a week from tomorrow is our great giveaway. So this is the thing. If you're the first you're hearing about it, I want you to join me on this. We do this every year on Love the Promise. And it's basically I'm sending you on a mini mission trip, asking you what's the best thing you can do with $15. Now, if you don't have $15, $5 will do. It's not about the money. It's really about what's in your hand. And can you share? Can you give to somebody who can't pay you back? Can you do a random act of kindness that you would maybe otherwise not do? And so when you look on our website, you'll find more information, myfaithradio.com. It's called The Great Giveaway. So next Wednesday, week from tomorrow, my birthday, which is, I can't even think of a better way to spend my birthday than to hear and share stories of random acts of kindness that happened all over the upper Midwest because of you and your willingness to step out. So we'll be taking your calls next Wednesday. Everybody who gets on the air will get a book. Many will get fun Christmas Ghirardelli candy bars, or is it Ghirardelli? I don't remember, but they're good. And then two really wonderful big gift baskets we'll give away. So if you want more information, check out our website, myfaithradio.com. Please do join me for the great giveaway this year. And you'll just be amazed as you listen to all the different creative ways people reach out to share with those in their community, even across the world. So you decide. Ask the Lord what He'd have you do and do it. See what happens. Okay, as I said, it's a spiritual reset Christmas style. And so I'm going to ask you to think about three things this Christmas. One is to tell a story. In other words, you're going to remember, just I challenge you to pause and remember how God has showed up in your life. And then tell someone. It doesn't cost you anything. Tell someone, let me tell you about the time I didn't know where our next meal was going to come from, and Jesus showed up. You know, tell a story. And then to see your story, to see that in the midst of the mess and the hardship, that God is good and He's writing a story with your life. And finally, to embrace His story, to see yourself in the bigger story. So I'll share a few of my stories along the way, and I'm going to give you a chance to call in and share some. There's a whole bunch of stories shared on Facebook today when I asked if you have a memory of a past holiday where there was hardship, difficulty, and you saw God show up, share it with me. And there's some amazing stories there. But for me, looking back over the years, so often our hardest times happened over the holidays, and it almost seemed like it made it harder because everybody else seemed so happy and we were just crawling through life. I just remember our babies were born in the winter, and so the RSV, the respiratory stuff, just seemed to be at its peak around Christmas time. Had kids in the doctor in the hospital. I remember a time when two of our sons were in the hospital in the ER for respiratory issues. And so Kev was on one end and I was of the hospital. I was on the other, and we passed love notes between with our oldest son. We gave him a note. We'd send him back and forth just because this was the eve of Christmas Eve, not where we wanted to be spending our time, but we thought we're going to make the best of it. I remember a time when my oldest son, he was just a few days old, and it was the night before Christmas Eve, and we had no money. We had a Charlie Brown Christmas tree, almost nothing under the tree, no money to buy gifts. But I remember just holding that little baby in my arms and thinking, I'm looking at the miracle of life in my arms. We were flat broke, but I saw God in that moment. So what about you? Can you think about times over the past year or even over your lifetime where things really weren't what you thought they should be around the holiday season and you were tempted to just really despair, but then you looked up and you saw God? I would love to know. Give me a call. I've got a few blessings books to give away, 877-933-2484. In fact, I got a couple stories I want to share from Facebook here. Let's see. Where are you? Let's see. Jamie says, 2 years ago, Santa's little helper showed up on my doorstep with $400 cash. We could pay our rent. It was a great gift. I was in tears. Elisa says, my Aunt Marion passed away right before Christmas 1 year. My middle name is after her, and she was an incredible mother and grandmother to many, a great person and a bright light for Jesus. What about you? Can you think about a time when the holidays weren't what you wanted them to be, but then you saw God? I would love to know. 877-933-2484. So that first step is tell a story. Give the gift of perspective, because in this struggling world, people need to know God is still on his throne and he is very much on the move. And those stories, they capture those sacred moments when you opened your eyes and you saw God. And so when you pause, even tell your kids, I remember a time we were struggling and God showed up. So you know what? Stories nourish the soul. So tell a story this Christmas. So we're going to hear a song from Stephen Curtis Chapman. This pretty much describes what our first Christmases were like. I love the song. It's called Christmas is All in the Heart.
In a one-bedroom apartment on the humble side of town, there stands a little Christmas tree. Looks a lot like Charlie Brown's. And underneath, there's one little gift for him and one little gift for her. After 6 months on the new job, they're still barely getting by. In the way of decorations, there's nothing there to catch your eye. And both of them would be the first to say, we're together, we're gonna have the merriest Christmas anyway. 'Cause Christmas is all in the heart. That's where starts, and like a fire inside, it touches every part. 'Cause Christmas is all in the heart. And even if no white snow falls, that's all right, because the joy can still be found wherever you are. 'Cause Christmas is
sleepy eyes, the sparks still glow. I guess there's just some things a kid never outgrows. It's Christmas is all in the heart. That's where the feeling starts. And like a fire inside, it touches every part. Christmas is all in.
Christmas is all in the heart. That was Stephen Curtis Chapman. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're doing a spiritual reset Christmas style. So we're going to talk about three things as the show unfolds today. Tell a story, see your story, and embrace his story. This is just a way. It doesn't cost you any money, but it's a way to bring the sacredness back into the season. And really, I pray with all my heart, it allows you to slow down long enough to take your shoes off and realize this is holy ground because God is with me and he is working in and through my circumstances. And so the first part that we talked about is tell a story. Share with somebody else. Maybe it's one of your kids. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's someone who's walking through their own difficult time. About a time you were struggling and a time you looked up and you saw God, especially around the holidays. Those stories are so powerful. And so just ask for a couple calls, 877-933-2484. We've got Heather calling in from Holly, Minnesota. Heather, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell me your story.
I lost my mom when I was quite young. Grew up with just myself and my dad. I was not feeling like we really belonged anywhere. People were always very gracious, you know, however, to welcome us, but still just never felt like I had a family. Then one Christmas when I was 25, I believe, I was away from my dad and just kind of feeling lonely again, like I just don't have any place to belong or a family that I wanted so badly. And so I just kind of crying out to God about that and just laying that out. And I got this feeling like, you know, by this time next year, you'll be married. And I thought, that's bizarre. I didn't, you know, I thought I must have made that up in my own head. And I journaled it and dated it and told one friend because I just thought this is crazy. This is crazy. But by December of 29th of the next year, I was married.
Wow.
And that was 7 years ago this year. So God is faithful, and I have a fantastic extended family now, in-laws. And
wow.
So
isn't that amazing? Heather, thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it so much, and I love that God brought you together with your precious husband and family. And we wish you a Merry Christmas, and we'll get you a copy of the Blessings book, all right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.
You too.
Yeah. So this is the challenge for you, is to think about a time when you felt like your hands were empty, your heart was broken, And then you looked up and you saw God. Tell a story. And you know what? Something happens. As Andrew Palau even said yesterday on this show, when you start to share of the faithfulness of God, it does activate something in your own soul, in your own heart, and it awakens faith. So tell a story. Okay, secondly, I challenge you, see your story. See what God is up to right here, right now. In fact, Elizabeth Barrett Browning says, earth is crammed with heaven. And most people, I'm going to miss this. Oh, my goodness, where is this quote? I just think it's so beautiful. Here it is. Earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. Man, if there's anything I want you to do this season is to see him and then take off your shoes. One of the times that God gave us a glimpse into our story, the one that he was writing, was back in our wilderness years. And you know, many of you know about our story. We just struggled so much in those early years with health and medical debt. And I remember just so envying everybody else who seemed to have their health and have their finances and have a lot of joy. And every day just seemed to struggle for me. And I love Christmas. So I especially felt it during those times. And I would watch those Christmas commercials and I would dream about the day when I could be dressed up like June Cleaver, but not really, but look like that. You know, when all of her cookies were like the same shape. She actually baked in high heels. I couldn't believe that. And her kids all sat on the couch and got along and smiled. And the house was decked out galore. I just, honestly, I dreamed about a commercial like Christmas. I'm embarrassed to even admit it, but being sick and not having money, I just thought, will there be a day where my life can look like that? I'm here, I'm in my 20s, just dreaming about that. And every year just seemed to get harder in certain ways. And I just wanted that. And I remember one day when it seemed, or one year, I should say, that the crises seemed to be waning. And like this was going to be the year, maybe, that it would feel like life wasn't going to be hard. It was going to be more blessed than a struggle. And so this was the year. We still didn't have much money at all. And our house was still falling apart. But I could afford like several kinds of cookies. And I'm baking them in the kitchen. The kids, little three little boys, are helping Kev unpack all of our Christmas decorations. They're jumping up and down. We have chipmunks playing on the cassette tape, if that tells you anything about how old I am. And the kids are having a ball. And I was just like, this is the year. Nobody's sick. We're able to, you know, have three different kinds of cookies. And I just was so thrilled. I remember looking into the living room, and my husband had a very shocked look on his face, like worried. And I said, is everything okay? And he said, oh, no, everything's fine. And he's trying to make me feel better. But I knew him well enough to know something's up here. And I said, no, really, what's going on? And he says, well, it seems. And he goes on to explain that the previous spring, during spring cleaning, he accidentally threw away our dumpy little Charlie Brown, half of it, our dumpy little Charlie Brown Christmas tree, and away half of our really good Christmas tree that my in-laws had given me. So we had two halves and no whole. And but he knew how badly I wanted this Christmas to happen. So he's Mr. Tim the Tool Man. And so he's like, it's going to be okay, honey. It's going to be okay. Son, go get my skill saw. Go get my screw gun and my drills. And I thought, who else has a Christmas scene that looks like a commercial construction project? He was drilling. He was sawing. The kids stopped singing Christmas carols and were throwing sawdust up in the air and having a great time with that. I burnt my cookies. And believe it or not, the cassette tape got eaten in the cassette player. And I thought, I cannot win. And he worked and worked on that tree. And it was so pathetic and such a mess. And he was trying so hard. And by this time, it was time for the kids to go to bed. And I went and kissed my husband on the head and said, you know what, honey, it's really okay. We'll have a tree next year. We don't need a tree this year. And I tucked my little ones in bed. And then I went to bed. And then the middle of the night, I rolled over and he wasn't there. And I went out. And there he sat, on the floor, in front of a medium, perfect Christmas tree, beautifully decorated, holding the control to the lights like it was a remote control to a car. And I walked up behind him and he said, I was going to make it rotate, but I thought I should stop while I was at it. And I crawled into his lap and I was overcome. I just started to cry. And I said, this reminds me of our life, doesn't it? Our life has felt like a mess for so many years. But like you saw the potential in this pile of mess, I do think God sees the potential in us. I think he sees it, and he's not giving up on us, so I'm not going to give up either. And I just remember leaning back and sitting with him and both of us just marveling at the goodness of our God. So that's my challenge for you right now, is to see your story. See that God is with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. I pray in the name of Jesus, he would open your eyes so that you can see he is with you. See your story and the story he's writing. This is Chris Tomlin's Emmanuel. Praise his name, Emmanuel. God is with us. He is with you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're having a spiritual reset Christmas style. And Jessica, I want to take your call after the break. We're just taking a quick short break in a moment because I want to give you time to share your story because it sounds like it is profound. So we're covering 3 points here to tell a story. So think about a time that God's been faithful to you and especially share it with maybe your children who need to know that there's a legacy of faith in your life or somebody who's struggling now so they can remember God is faithful. But then the other charge too is see your story. Open your eyes. And if you can't see, ask God, open my eyes to what you are doing in this bigger scheme of things. Help me to see you where it feels like the enemy is winning the day, right? And then the next, in a moment, we're going to talk about embrace his story, where you start to see yourself in the bigger story. Boy, we're having a great time today. So glad you tuned in. And I'd love to hear your story about a time God showed up, especially during the holidays. I'll read some of the stories off of Facebook. Betty, I'm going to read yours. It's excellent. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can post your story on my Facebook page. It's Deeper Life in Christ, facebook.com/Deeper Life in Christ. We'll be right back.
shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, they shone a holy light. Let's go.
So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're doing a spiritual reset, Christmas style, talking about ways to stop, pause, and know and remember why we celebrate Christmas in the first place, and to the point where you remember the ways that God has shown up, and really look for him, how he's showing up even now, in a way that makes you want to take your shoes off because you see this holy ground, because he walks with you. Emmanuel, God with us. Also, asking for your stories about times where you saw God intervene. Give me a call, 877-933-2484. Jessica's been waiting, patiently calling in from New Hope. Jessica, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Susie.
How are you?
I am good.
Good. So tell me your story, Jessica.
About 9 years ago, I left an abusive relationship with my two daughters. And then actually 3 days from now, it'll be exactly 9 years. Mm. My husband committed suicide. Mm. And it was devastating because I wanted restoration in our relationship and redemption, for our marriage. But the Lord really used that circumstance. Several families that knew of our circumstances got together, and they wanted to make sure that the girls and I had a Christmas celebration and didn't have to worry about what was going to happen with the holiday. And you can imagine I was so concerned about keeping normalcy for my girls and not having it be a sad time. And they got to, this group of friends got together and purchased gifts for us and sat down with me and presented all of those and just really ministered to me at that devastating, difficult time. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. Ever since then, the holiday hasn't been sad for me.
Wow.
Christmas. It's been a time of rejoicing and watching how God has worked in our life. And that was my prayer in that time. Lord, don't let the holidays for all the years to come be sad. Please redeem this for you.
Jessica, first of all, you're so brave, especially at Christmas time, but to just be so concerned even about the safety and the legacy of your kids to make such a move. And so sorry for what you've been through. And I praise God that he mobilized people to come around you and that you're still standing and you can testify that God is with you. Thank you for sharing that story. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
And I'm going to make sure you get a copy of the Blessings book. I hope it blesses you this Christmas season.
Wonderful.
Bless you, hon. Thank you so much. I'm going to read a couple entries today from one of my favorite Christmas books. It's called The Glory of Christmas. It's a compilation of Chuck Swindoll, Max Lucado, and Charles Colson. And listen to this. This is a Max Lucado entry. It's quiet. It's early. My coffee is hot. The sky is still black. The world still asleep. The day is coming. In a few moments, the day will arrive. It will roar down the track with the rising of the sun. The stillness of the dawn will be exchanged for the noise of the day. The calm of solitude will be replaced by the pounding pace of the human race. The refuge of the early morning will be invaded by decisions to be made and deadlines to be met. For the next 12 hours, I will be exposed to the day's demands. It is now that I must make a choice. And because of Calvary, I'm free to choose. And so I choose. I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of a lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I'll refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I'll live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I will invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for a moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I'll be kind to the poor, for they are alone. Kind to the rich, for they are afraid. And kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I'll be overlooked before I'll boast. I'll confess before I will accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. Max Lucado says, my wife will not question my love, and my children will never fear their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it only be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it only be of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I'll be drunk by only joy. I'll be impassioned by only my faith. I'll be influenced by only God. I will be taught by only Christ. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these I commit my day. And if I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek his grace. And then, when the day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest. That's from The Glory of Christmas by Max Lucado. Love it. Yes, so we are talking about telling a story. Tell a story. Give a gift. Tell somebody a time when God showed up for you, when you were struggling, and he moved in, and he moved on your behalf. Tell someone who needs to know and hear about God's faithfulness. It doesn't cost a dime, but it reminds them and reminds you that the greatest gift to this earth is Jesus Christ, who came to earth. Tell a story, and then see your story right in the midst of your struggle. Press in right now and say, God, show me what you're up to, because you are part of something that's beyond your imagination. Don't throw the book away because you don't like the chapter that you're on right now. God is writing a great story with your life, and guess what? His will for you is your best case scenario. In a moment, we're going to talk about what it means to embrace his story, to see yourself in the bigger story. First, I want to take a call. Frances is calling in from Fargo. Frances, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Frances, and I have a story to tell. I just also had a bitter divorce. I was abused, and I got full custody of my kids. I had three children that I had, and I just got out of the hospital. I just had a nervous breakdown, and I had no gifts for that Christmas, the first Christmas that we had. And in the middle of the night, somebody had filled the entryway with bikes and clothes for the kids. And we had a Merry Christmas that year because of that. And they left a card and said, we wish to remain anonymous. So it was a blessing that God comes through.
Yeah.
And people care.
Well, Frances, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. And may you continue to just speak of how God has been faithful. Bless you, and I want to make sure you get a copy of the blessing book. Wow, he's moving all around us. And, you know, this is why I'm so passionate about the great giveaway, because already two calls now talk about a significant way that they met God was through the hands and feet of other people, responding to the nudge, giving an anonymous gift, doing a random act of kindness. It goes so far. So I challenge you, Lord, what should I do? And then do it. And then come back and tell us about it. It's almost like a time where I send you out on a mission trip. You come back on Wednesday and you share. I can't wait to hear your stories. So we've talked about telling a story. We've talked about seeing your story, where you just press in to see what God is up to. Now we're going to talk about embracing his story. And really, it's the greatest story that ever has ever been told. And how you and I respond to his story really determines how our story will end. 2,000 years ago, shepherds stood on a hillside, as they'd done countless times before. And they were most likely guarding sheep that would later be used as a sacrifice at the temple. You can almost picture what that night looked like, right? The stars, the moon, the noises, the casual conversation. But this night would be different, a sacred story indeed. Listen to this from Luke 2, verses 8 through 16. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you'll recognize him. You'll find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of other armies of heaven, praising God. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to all whom God favors. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. You know, in those days, the way shepherds kept their sheep in the pen was by placing a heavy boulder at the gate. So as soon as the shepherd moved that heavy boulder, the sheep would stampede through that opening, through the gate. They were anxious to be free from their captivity. Do you know why the shepherds ran or stampeded when they heard the great news of Jesus? Think about it. The shepherds ran because they'd read about and heard about the Messiah, the one who would bring abundance and freedom, forgiveness and wholeness. They longed for freedom to be an option, and they were penned in by impossible religious demands that they couldn't live up to. And they were looking forward to living free. They understood what it meant to have that stone, the boulder, rolled away. In her Bible study, Secrets Jesus Shared, this is what Jennifer Kennedy Dean writes. Listen to this. "Every step that Jesus took on planet Earth, the spiritual realm was shouting, 'This is what God looks like.' As he healed and taught and touched and laughed and loved, 'This is what God looks like.' As he hung broken on the cross, 'This is what God looks like.' When he rose from the grave and triumphed over death, 'This is what God looks like.'" Hebrews 1:3 says this, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." This Jesus did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He laid his life down. Absolutely amazing. Noel, think about that. I love this Christmas song. This is by Darlene Check. Think about that as you think about the one who came, who lived, who died, and rose again for us. born as the King of Israel. We're talking about today, about having that kind of Christmas that makes you want to take your shoes off because it's holy ground. And so I've been asking you, tell a story, right? Tell a story about time that God showed up in your life, and then see your story right here, right now. Whether this is a time of favor or hardship, lean in, press in, and look for God in this place. You draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. And finally, embrace His story, because His story really determines how our story will end. Here's another reading from The Glory of Christmas by Max Lucado. When God wanted to defeat sin, His ultimate weapon was the sacrifice of His own Son. On Christmas Day 2,000 years ago, the birth of a tiny baby in an obscure village in the Middle East was God's supreme triumph of good over evil. Untethered by time, God sees all. From the backwoods of Virginia to the business district of London, from the Vikings to the astronauts, from the cave dwellers to the kings, from the hut builders to the finger pointers to the rock stackers, He sees us, vagabonds and ragamuffins all. He saw us before we were ever born. And He loves what He sees. Flooded by emotion, overcome by pride, the Star Maker turns to us one by one and says, "You are my child. I love you dearly. I'm aware that someday you'll turn from me and walk away, but I want you to know I've already provided a way back." And to prove it, He did something extraordinary. Stepping from the throne, He removed His robe of light and He wrapped Himself in skin, pigmented human skin. The light of the universe entered a dark, wet womb. He whom angels worship nestled Himself in the placenta of a peasant, was birthed into the cold night, then slept on a cow's hay. Mary didn't know whether to give Him milk or give Him praise, but she gave Him both, since He was, as near as she could figure, hungry and holy. Joseph didn't know whether to call Him Junior or Father, but in the end he called Him Jesus, since that's what the angel had said, and since he didn't have the faintest idea what to name a God he could cradle in His arms. Don't you think their heads tilted and their minds wondered, "What in the world are you doing, God?" Or better phrased, "God, what are you doing in the world?" "Can anything make me stop loving you?" God asks. "Watch me speak your language, sleep on your earth, and feel your hurts. Behold the Maker of sight and sound as He sneezes, coughs, and blows His nose. You wonder if I understand how you feel? Look into the dancing eyes of the kid in Nazareth. That's God walking to school. Ponder the toddler at Mary's table. That's God spilling His milk. You wonder how long my love will last? Find your answer on a splintered cross on a craggy hill. That's me you see up there, your Maker, your God, nail-stabbed and bleeding, covered in spit and sin-soaked. That's your sin I'm feeling. That's your death I'm dying. That's your resurrection I'm living, because that's how much I love you." This is the Jesus that we celebrate. This Jesus who came to earth was a mighty warrior. You know what? The world shook Him like a rag doll, but He's not coming back the same way. May we all get right with Him. May we receive His grace for our sins, forgiveness for our sins. And may we celebrate this season who He really is. Jesus, He's Lord of the earth, Savior of our souls. What a wonderful child. We are going out with a bang. I love this song. This is Jesus, What a Wonderful Child.
Get your hands together now. Come on.
Jesus. Jesus. Oh.
Mary was the mother.
Now, if that doesn't stoke your fire, I got to say your wood just might be wet. I love that song. I really pray you found some encouragement here today. And it's just a spiritual reset Christmas style. Here's a reminder, just talking about how to stop, pause, and kind of remember why it is we celebrate in the first place. So tell a story. Remember a way that God has showed up in your life in a way that you knew it was Him. And share it with some people. In fact, pray, God, show me who needs to hear what I have to give. This is a gift that costs you nothing, and who knows how far it'll go. Then see your story. Look for Him. Find Him, because He's there. He's moving. And the Bible does say He delights in every detail of your life. And then embrace His story. Do know He's coming again. Do know that as the love of most grows cold, there's going to be a remnant that rises up and reflects the love of Christ. Will that be you? Will you let Him have His way in your story and change you from the inside out so that people, when they encounter you, they know they're encountering Him? That's my prayer. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for my friend listening today. Thank you for coming to earth to save her, to save him, to save me. Lord, we ask you to make yourself real to us today. Lord, we pause and we remember the countless ways you've come through for us and shown us that you are for us, you are with us, and you are not going away. Give us opportunity, Lord God, to share our story of your faithfulness with those who need to hear it. Stir us up in faith to see our story right here, right today, where you're active, where you're busy, where you're moving in our midst. And finally, Lord, open our eyes to embrace your story because you are mighty to save and doing something great in the earth. And you want to move in and through us. So, Lord, we say yes. Have your way in our story, in our lives, and help us to proclaim you to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, they shone a holy light. Let's go till it's on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go till it's on the mountain.
Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Give us a couple minutes. That podcast will be up. If you think this would be an encouragement to someone today, just to pause, take off their shoes, and remember that God is moving in our midst, share it with them. Give us a few minutes. That podcast will be up. You can click it by a button and share it by Twitter, Facebook, or email. And while you're there, sign up for the great giveaway, right? We just want to know what you're doing. These stories inspire us. We'll read some of those on the air next Wednesday. And finally, you hear this every day. Here it is. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Everyday Relationships is up next.